Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Tuesday, May 10th. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. That's R-E-I-D-34. If you're new to the show, this is a Sports Ethos presentation, and please go to your podcast provider and rate and review the show. Any comments, thoughts, or feedback would be appreciated. Just send me a DM. And any reviews, especially a five-star review rating, would be appreciated. Before we get going, there are a few housekeeping items that I'd like to go through to start every show. If you haven't joined us already at Sports Ethos, I suggest you go to sportsethos.com and check out our packages there. You can get our wagering package, which is the group that I'm a part of, for $15 a month. Basically 50 cents a day, roughly. And you're going to get input, comments, thoughts, plays on NBA games, Major League Baseball games, NHL playoff games. You're going to get Aussie rules football. You're going to get lots of tennis, a lot of plays. This time of year, you're probably getting anywhere between 12 to 20 plays in a given day on the various games. So it's a great package, a great group of handicappers. We also have packages for DFS, for fantasy sports, fantasy baseball. Obviously, it's the season, but we have fantasy basketball. We're going to have fantasy football coming up. So I suggest you check out those. And if you are a fan of all the sports, we've got a few Twitter handles. One is Ethos Fantasy BB for baseball. That's hosted by Joe Arrico. You can find Joe on Twitter at JoeArrico99. So that's Joe, O-R-R-R-I-C-O-99. He also hosts a regular daily baseball podcast, which I was on earlier this morning. We'll give you some DFS input, but a lot of fantasy baseball. And coming up, as we hit the summer months, you can get our Ethos Fantasy FB for football. And that's going to be a regular show. Right now, I think it's about two or three times a week. We have a podcast there as well, but regular updates on that Twitter handle. And as always, you can find the basketball information, which I think we are as good as anybody out there on giving regular updates, lineups, movements, player movements and suggestions at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. You can find us there. So a few Ethos Fantasy groups to follow, whether you're into wagering, whether you're into fantasy, or whether you're into DFS. Also, before we get going, we have a partner here at Sports Ethos, Thrive Fantasy, T-H-R-I-V-E. If you haven't checked them out, you prop up with Thrive on their mobile app or thrivefantasy.com. When you sign up, use the code Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, to get 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit of up to $100, plus you get either two or four free game tickets to play. Basically, you pick the player props and the biggest names every night. You score points when they hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize. And again, if you want more information on props, you can check out our multitude of teams here at Sports Ethos, whether it be fantasy baseball, or pardon me, whether it be DFS, baseball, basketball, or coming with football. You can get information which will help you with prop betting if you are at Thrive Fantasy. Also, if you get any one of our packages, you get access to our Discord. And I think our Discord is our hidden gem. We have all the sports. We have a special channel for Thrive in there. And it's a great collective of the Ethos people from our wagering group, our DFS, our fantasy, and all of our subscribers. We chat all the time. I'm often in the baseball one, the hockey one. The basketball one in the fall. I was in college basketball, throughout the winter, college basketball, college football. And it's just a great way to talk lines in a game, talk player movement, talk fantasy strategies. And frankly, you don't even have to talk. You can just watch and read some of the comments. So lots of things going on in Ethos. We are absolutely exploding in every sport. And I think it's something you want to get onto. So check us out when you can. Now, to hit the boards, great night of sports tonight. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, 17 Major League Baseball games. So let's get right at it. In the NBA, in the association, both series tonight are tied at 2-2. We have Philly at Miami. You can get the road 76ers. You can get the home Heat as 2.5-point favorites. The total, 209.5. So first two games are at Miami. Miami won both. 106-92 and 119-103. Then the series switched to Philly, and Joel Embiid came back, and Philly won 99-79 and 116-108. So I'm not right here. I like Miami. The problem here is Embiid. Well, Embiid is listed as questionable, but he played the last two games, so I don't see why he's still questionable. But nonetheless, he should be in. Lowry is out, and that definitely hurts Miami. Hero Strauss, PJ Tucker, and Gabe Vincent are all listed as questionable, but they were in last game as well, and they all played. So I think they're good to go, but Lowry's out at 2.5. You know, the momentum in the series has switched to Philly, but it's back in Miami. Jimmy Butler's knee is a little wonky in these playoffs, so I'm a little afraid of their depth. And I like Miami, probably to win. Not sure I want to lay the point, so I'm going to stay away from this game. And the total, 209.5. These totals have been all over, and nowhere near 209.5. The first game, 198, a Miami win. The second game, Miami win at home, 222. At Philly, 178, and then at Philly, 224. So I'm not really sure that, you know, this total will probably go screaming under or well above. So I'm going to stay away from this game in general. I lean Miami, and I actually lean the under. But not touching either. The next game sees the Mavericks of Dallas travel to Phoenix. You can get the home Suns at -6. Total here, 215. Again, this series, two wins at Phoenix for Phoenix, two wins at Dallas for Dallas. The totals were at Phoenix in their two wins, 236 and 238. Two wins at Dallas were 197 and 212. So clearly more scoring at Phoenix, less scoring at Dallas. And I think the home team wins again here. I'm not sure. I'm willing to lay 6 points. They won the first game by 7. They won the second game at home by 20. But then they went and lost by 9 and by 10 at Dallas. So I think Phoenix wins. I think they win in the 4-5, maybe 6 range. So I'm not sure. I don't think I'm going to be on the total. But what I am going to be on is the total. At 215, I'm going to take the over. Again, first two games. So 2 of 4 games have gone over this. The last game at Dallas was 212, so it was fairly close. But the first two games at Phoenix went 236 and 238. So I think Phoenix in front of the home crowd comes back. They're healthy. Dallas, for all intents and purposes, is healthy. All the stars are playing like stars, playing well. And I think Phoenix is going to get back a little back to their running gun style and be able to put up some points. I think their team total is about 110. I was looking at that, but didn't jump on that. Instead, just went for the full game total of 215. So the one game, the one play in the NBA I'm on tonight is Dallas at Phoenix, total 215 over. Gonna take a quick break, and when we get back, we're gonna hit the diamond of 17 games and then 4 pretty exciting NHL playoff games to get to.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable: postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's get to the diamond. Ton of games on today. One doubleheader in an odd doubleheader, actually, in New York. We get the first game, Detroit and Oakland play, but Oakland is the home team. Now, I didn't look into this, but I get to assume it's because of rainouts and scheduling variations this year. But the Oakland A's are at home, though playing in Detroit. Right-hander Frankie Montas on the mound for the A's, Tarik Skubal, lefty for Detroit. This is basically a coin flip, 110 on either side, a total 6.5. I like Montas. I like the way he's been pitching, but I don't want anything to do with Oakland and their offense right now. So this is stay away from me, and 6.5 total is low for me as well. I'm not a huge fan yet of Skubal. He's pitched well. I just think Montas is much more proven. I would be on the A's. I would lean the A's maybe, but their bats have just been so cold. So this game's a stay away from me. The next game. Sorry, just reconfiguring my screen there. There we go. The next game, the doubleheader at 4:10 in the East, has the Tigers at home this game. And Oakland throws righty Adrian Martinez, and Detroit throws righty Alex Fado. Not much track record in any of these guys, and the total here is up to 7.5. Actually, it was at about 8, so it's at 7.5. If anything, it might lean the over here in the game. You can get Oakland at plus 120. You can get the home Tigers at minus 140. I would like the Tigers, but not laying 140. The run lines, the Tigers are plus 155. I just don't have the faith in them to get win by two runs. And not real confident they're going to win. So staying away from those lines. But maybe the total of over 7.5, although it's juiced to 120. So that's a stay away from me as well. The next game sees the Dodgers in Pittsburgh. And for LA, we have righty Tony Gonsolin against righty Bryce Wilson on Pittsburgh. You can get the road Dodgers minus 240, the home Pirates at plus 200. Just too much to lay here for me. The Pirates won 5-0 yesterday over the Dodgers. Do they repeat? I doubt it. But a plus 200, there might be some value there. Total is 8.5. You can get the over to plus 100. I don't necessarily like the Pirates' bats to get the Gonsolin. So not going to probably touch that. This is a stay-away game for me. I like the Dodgers, but just not laying 240. And I don't like the Pirates enough to take a chance at plus 200. The next game I am on, we have Milwaukee in Cincinnati. And Milwaukee goes with righty Freddy Peralta. And the Reds counter with their young righty Hunter Green, who has been rocked lately. And that's my narrative here. You can get the Brewers at minus 185. You get the home Reds in the money line at plus 165. Total here, 8.5. And what I'm on is the Milwaukee team total of over 4.5. Now, I can only get it at minus 122. I prefer a higher number than that. But Hunter Green has been giving up a lot of hits, a lot of hard contact, and they're in Cincinnati. Weather's getting a little warmer, so it's not as cold as it has been the last couple of weeks. So the Brewers have been hitting well. I like them to score a few runs. I like them to get the Green and or the bullpen behind him. So I'm taking the Brewers team total over 4.5. Now the total here is 8.5. And I see even money, plus 100. Definitely looking at that as well. I may pull the trigger on that a little later. I think the Brewers can get the Green. And Peralta has pitched average this year. He had a good year last year. He hasn't thrown up great numbers yet. The Reds come out on their only two-game win streak of the year. They won back-to-back games. They won their first series of the weekend against Pittsburgh, and they won two straight. Does that hold? I doubt it. But against Peralta, who was good last year and been average this year, they might get a few runs. I'm not really sure. They don't really throw a left-handed heavy lineup. They've got Terry Friedel leading off, Colin Moran, their cleanup hitter, which is a scary thought. Sorry, Colin Moran, but I don't know that you should be a cleanup hitter. And Tyler Naquin, lefty. Other than that, it's all righties going against Peralta. So not a good chance they're going to score a lot of runs. So I'm just going to probably, for now, stick with the Milwaukee team total over 4.5. Next game sees the Mets with an unknown pitcher. I saw it was McGill, and then the last I saw was Carrasco. So I'm going to assume with Carrasco as a starter against the Nats and Patrick Corbin. You can get the Mets at minus 180. You can get the Nats at plus 160. Total here, 8.5. And if you've listened to my show for the last few weeks, I think you know where I'm going before I even start this. I'm on the Mets team total. It is at over 4.5. It's minus 130. Again, would like to, might shop around, might wait a little to see if I can get a better line than that. But this is just a play against Patrick Corbin. The Mets have been hitting well throughout their lineup, so I hope that would continue. But Patrick Corbin has just been brutal. His last start was all right, but he's been brutal all year long. So does total get to 8.5? Perhaps the Nats could put up a couple runs against Carrasco and the Mets, but I'm not going to take the risk on that. I'm just going to lay the little higher number than I would like at minus 130 and take the Mets team total over 4.5. 7:05 in the East, we see the Blue Jays travel to New York for the battle of the early season battle of the AL East. Yusei Kikuchi is on the bump for the Jays, and you can get them on the money line of plus 150. Luis Severino is on the hill for the Yanks. You can get them on the money line of minus 170. Total here, 7.5. And I like the Jays at plus 150. And this is more of a call just on the Jays lineup. Now, they haven't been hitting that great lately. They've had some pretty tough competition. I think they've played against the fifth or sixth hardest strength of schedule in Major League Baseball, which is interesting because the Yankees have the second easiest strength of schedule so far. So Kikuchi pitched against the Yanks, pitched well against them about a week ago. Some people believe that batting order facing the same pitcher in such a short period advantage to the hitting team. Perhaps. I just think this is too much value here, plus 150 with the Blue Jays lineup. So I'd like Severino, slightly better pitcher than Kikuchi. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery. He's looked decent this year. Does that hold up? Perhaps. Let's hope so for him and the Yankees. But Kikuchi has also bounced back last start, but had a decent year last year. So pitching-wise, it's a lean towards New York. But at plus 150, I've got to just back the Jays. I think there's just too much value there. Next game, 7:20 in the East, has Boston traveling to Atlanta. Boston starts Garrett Whitlock. They're righty. The Braves counter with righty Kyle Wright, who has been fantastic this year. And you can get the Red Sox at plus 120, the money line. The Braves minus 140. Total here, 7.5. I'm looking towards the Braves, and I'm going to look to them on the run line. You can get them at plus 155. I like Wright. Much better, not much better, better than Whitlock. Whitlock has pitched really well. Their numbers are fairly comparable, but Whitlock's been a three-inning kind of guy. I think he's went four innings once, whereas Wright's pitching past the fifth inning in most of his starts. So I just think he's going to go a little deeper, and the Red Sox bullpen is just a hot mess. I don't know what they're doing there. They've been struggling. They can't find setup, man. They can't find a closer. So are the Braves a better team right now? Yes. Are they hitting better? Yes. Is Wright better than Whitlock now? Yes. Is their bullpen better? Yes. 140, I don't want to land the money line, so I pivot to the run line, plus 155. And just to put their offenses in comparison, so far this year, they're expected batting average. The Red Sox are at 249, which is 21st in Major League Baseball. Atlanta's 261, which is 9th. Expecting slugging percentage. Atlanta's third best. The Bo Sox, 18th best. Expected weighted on base average, or WOBA. Expected WOBA for Atlanta, 349, which is third best in baseball. Boston's 313, which is 25th best. So the Braves lineup has been better. A little cooler in the last few games, but a better lineup. And this could be a good pitching matchup, a good pitching duel for the first three or four innings. But then I think we get to the Red Sox bullpen quicker than the Braves. So I'm on the Braves on the run line. Next game, 7:40 in the East, has the Astros in Minnesota. You have Justin Verlander and the Astros going against Joe Ryan and the Twins. You can get Houston minus 145 on the money line. Minnesota plus 125, total here is 7. An expected pitcher's duel, you can see that with the number 7. I would lean towards the under. Minus 115, but I would lean towards the under. Or I would lean potentially towards, and I might be on this one, Houston's run line. So -1.5, plus 130. Verlander has just looked really good this year. And his MO, as always, is he doesn't give up a lot of base runners. He gives up a couple home runs, not a couple game, but he gives up home runs, but oftentimes they're not with men on base. And if he can do that, he always seems to be able to limit teams. With an ERA and a whip under 1, he's been doing very well this year. So I'm on him to shut down the Twins. Now, Joe Ryan could shut down Houston. I'm just on Verlander with a little more confidence. So if anything, I would lean towards the run line for Houston, plus 130. Next game of the night, 7:45 in the East. We have Baltimore. Their righty Kyle Bradish traveling to St. Louis, and righty Adam Wainwright, who is supposed to be off the COVID restricted list tonight, which is a great sign for him and a great sign for the Cards. And this game has Baltimore plus 135 in the money line. You get the Cards minus 155 at home. Total here is 8, not on any of those. You get maybe, I am looking at the Cards minus 1.5 at plus 130. I just think Bradish has looked decent, but a young pitcher for Baltimore versus Wainwright and a much better lineup for the Cards favors the Cards. Don't want to lay the 155, so might look to the one plus 130 in the run line. 8:05 in the East, we have the KC Royals at the Texas Rangers. Righty Brad Keller on the bump for KC, and lefty Martin Perez on the bump for the Rangers. You can get KC at plus 115. You can get the Rangers minus 135. No money line. Total here is 8. And I would love to go over because I don't think either of these pitchers are all that good, although Perez has pitched well his last couple outings. But the story with him is you get 3 or 4 starts where he does well and does what everybody thinks, and then everybody's on board. And then he reverts, not to the norm, but he reverts back to other ways, and he blows up for a few games. So I just don't have any faith in him consistently, and Brad Keller I've never been a fan of. However, neither of these offenses are really rolling either. So at the 8 number, that's probably priced about right, and I'm not really sure that I can go over or under there. Next game that I had, 8:10 in the East, has the Cleveland Guardians at the White Sox. We have Cal Quantrill, the righty for Cleveland, going against Lucas Giolito, the righty for the White Sox. So Quantrill and the Indians against Quantrill and the Guardians. I'm completely butchering this game versus Giolito and the Sox. You can get the Guardians at plus 160 in the money line. You can get Giolito at home minus 180. Total here is 8. If anything, I think there's value on the Guardians. They've been playing well lately, and the White Sox have been struggling with Jimenez out, with Andrew Vaughn out, with Lance Lynn not back in the rotation. Not that would affect this game, but the two hit it would. I would lean towards the Guardians just because it's such a high number at plus 160, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in their offense going against Giolito. So stay away from me, even on the total of 8. If anything, I would lean the under there. It's juiced at about 110 from what I can see. Next game at 9:38 in the East has Tampa Bay traveling to Los Angeles to play the Angels. Righty Corey Kluber on the hill for Tampa and young lefty Reed Detmers on the hill for LA. And as always, when you play Tampa, they're going to throw, what are we looking at? 5 righties, 2 switch hitters, 2 lefties against Detmers. So a pretty right-handed heavy lineup. And I would be leaning towards the Rays. You can get the Rays at minus 115 in the money line. You can get the Angels at home minus 105. Total here is 8. Kluber's pitched well. LA's lineup has hit fairly well so far. And I heard an interesting stat earlier today that the Angels only had 15 games, I think it was last year, where they had Trout, Ohtani, and Rendon in the lineup hitting at the same time. They've had them for – Trout was out for a little bit, but they've had them together for most of this year, and I think that's a good reason why they are leading the AL West and doing better. However, all of them are righties, as is Corey Kluber, who seems to have found a bit of a fountain of youth again with Tampa. And I would lean – as I said, I would lean towards Tampa. Knock me on this game. I just think LA has the ability to put up some runs and potentially score and beat anybody. So just stay away from me. Next game of the night has the Cubbies in San Diego to play the Padres. We have veteran Wade Miley, the lefty for the Cubs, making his debut, and Mike Clevenger making his second start for the Padres after returning from Tommy John surgery last season. You can get the Cubs at plus 140 in the money line, the Padres minus 160. Total here is 7. And I'm on 2 numbers here. I'm on the over 7. You can get it at minus 105, what I currently see. And I'm on the Padres run line of plus 145. I just don't trust Wade Miley. Like, his numbers have not been good. He pitched decent to start last year. At the end of the year, his numbers weren't really that strong. And Mike Clevinger probably isn't going to go more than three or four innings. But I think he has the ability to shut down the Cubbies lineup a little bit. But I think they could get to him for a run or two maybe, then get to the bullpen. And if they do that, I think the Padres take care of the rest of business, because I'm not really sure Miley's going to be able to stop the Pods, who have been hitting fairly well lately. So I'm on the over this game of over 7, and I'm also on the Padres to win, but I didn't want to lay 160, so I'm going to lay the 145 on the run line. Third last game of the night at 9:40 in the East has the Marlins traveling to Arizona to play the Diamondbacks. You get Jesus Luzardo, the young lefty. On the hill for the Marlins, you get Mad Bum, the old lefty, Madison Bumgarner, on the hill for the D-backs. You can get Miami minus 140, the home Diamondbacks plus 120. Total here is 8. I think the value lines in the Diamondbacks, I think they've won a line of their last 12 games. However, their offense is still god-awful. The numbers are brutal, and I don't necessarily see that changing. They are playing well, but I think this should be a low-scoring game just because I don't see the Diamondbacks putting up a lot of runs. The question is, do the Marlins get the Bumgarner, who's pitched hot and cold. So don't really have a lot of faith in that. At plus 120, there might be some value, but that's not a lot of value there because I think Luzardo has been pitching well. So I am going to fade this game. The total of 8, I'm not on that number either. Second last game should be an interesting game. The Phillies are in Seattle. You have Aaron Nola and the Phillies versus Robbie Ray and the Mariners. Philly comes in as minus 130 favorite. You can get the home race at plus 110. Total here is 7. And I'm actually looking to the over. Robbie Ray has not pitched well. And Philly has been hitting all right. The problem is, the fact of the matter is that as a lefty, he could fare well against the power of the Phillies. So Ray's a lefty, and the big hitters in the Phillies, Bryce Harper is a lefty, and Kyle Schwarber is a lefty. That's two of their big power bats. Obviously, Castellanos is a righty. Reese Hopkins is a righty. They're the 2-4 hitters. And I think they could score some runs. Robbie Ray seems to be walking guys again and putting himself in tough positions. He's always been a guy with a high pitch count, so I'm not really sure he can go deep in this game. I would lean the Phillies at minus 130. I'm not really going to be on that line. There's a plus 145 on their run line, but I don't want to be on that. So if anything, I would look to the over. It's juiced only at minus 1.5, total of 7. The question is, can Nola shut down the Mariners? Now, we probably can, but the M's have been hitting fairly well this year. Young rookie Julio Rodriguez moved up to 3rd in the order because he's been on fire. So I think they could probably put a couple runs on the board. If it's not against Nola, certainly against the bullpen. 7 is possible as a game total, and a minus 105, it is a little more attractive. So I might consider that. Not on it yet, though. Last game of the night sees Arizona and San Francisco to face the Giants. Antonio Sensatella, the righty, goes for the Rockies, and Alex Wood, the lefty, for the Gigantes. You can get the Rockies at plus 175 here. You can get the Giants at minus 210. Total here is 7.5. And Colorado's been hitting much better than expected this year. I think they're actually at 500. They're one of 4 teams in the NL West that are at 500. So I believe there's going to be some regression in there, especially now that they're away from friendly confines at Coors Field. So plus 175, there might be some value there. Sensatella's just struggled this year, and Alex Wood has looked pretty decent. So I mean, this is a stay away from me. 7.5 is also staying out. Anything, I lean to the under here. It's minus 115. Wood should be able to hold the Rockies in check. The question is, does Sensatella hold the Giants or not? Good chance he could give up 3, 4, 5 runs, and then the over could sail. Then the number could sail over to 7.5. So not going to be on the over there at all. So that wraps up the MLB games. On the ice, 4 series continue. And in Carolina, where the Hurricanes won the 2 games at home, and then they went to Boston and lost 2 games. So the series is tied at 2-2. You can get Boston plus 135 in the money line. You can get home Carolina Hurricanes at minus 155. The total is 6. I would lean, and I am leaning towards the Canes here. Just don't want to lay 155. So instead, I'm going to go to the, what they call in hockey, the puck line, which is minus 1.5. And that's at plus 170. And the reason is every game in this series, every game in all these series, have actually gone over the puck line in each game, which is very odd in hockey. So when you look at the Bruins Carolina series, the scores have been, just trying to pull it up here for you, 5-3, 5-1 Carolina, 5-2 Carolina at home, then shifted to Boston, 4-2 Boston, and 5-2 Boston. And I think part of the reason you're going to see this throughout the rest of the games, if you're watching NHL playoffs, is that teams are more likely, if they get down by two goals, to pull their goalies early with 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. In a traditional game, maybe they pull it in the last minute, minute and a half. But now they're in the playoffs, they're being a little more aggressive, and they're pulling the goalie much earlier, and you're seeing more empty net goals score. So I expect that trend to continue. So I like the Canes here, but I'm going to try them on the money line tonight at plus 170. Tampa's in Toronto to play the Leafs. This series also tied 2-2. They split in Toronto. They went back to Tampa. Toronto won the first one. Tampa won the second one. And you can get the Lightning at plus 115. You can get the home Leafs at minus 135. Total here, 6.5. I like the Leafs tonight, but not willing to lay 135. So I'm going to pivot to the puck line there as well. And that's at plus 180. Again, in this series, at home, Toronto won 5-0, then Tampa won 5-3. In Tampa, Toronto won 5-2, and then Tampa won 7-3. There have been plenty of empty net goals scored in this game, in this series. So hoping that continues to trend tonight. St. Louis travels to Minnesota. This series is also tied at twos, with both teams winning in each other's arena. You can get the road Blues at plus 145. You can get the home Wild at minus 165. Total here, 6.5. I'm on the Wild. I like the Wild. But again, pivoting to the puck lines, I don't want to lay 165 on the money line. So in the puck line, I'd get the home Wild at plus 155. In the four games in this series, St. Louis won the first one on the road 4-0. Minnesota won it at home 6-2. Then Minnesota won on the road 5-1. And St. Louis won at home 5-2. Yeah, four straight games, all have gone over the two goals threshold for the puck line. Last game of the night is the Kings at the Oilers. You can get the Kings plus 180 in the money line. You can get the home Oilers minus 220. This series is also 2-2. However, unlike the other series, this has not been a, this has been a split, like the trend of the other series. LA won the first game 4-3. Then Edmonton came back and won 6-0. Edmonton then won 8-2 at Los Angeles. And LA won 4-0 in the last game at LA. So all but one game here, the first game of the series, all but one was a one-goal game. The other ones have been a two-goal game. However, I'm just going to go with the Kings here at the plus 180 money line. So I'm taking the three home favorites to start. I'm taking the Kings to win in the road. I watched this last game. They just look like a much solid, more experienced team than the Kings, than the Oilers. Now, they're not really more experienced. They've got a few veterans still from their Stanley Cup days, including Dustin Brown, who's be finishing his career, his great long career this season. But the Oilers just look a little rattled to me. When penalties started to occur, they seemed to lose their composure a little more. And I think that's advantage Kings. And I think the Kings can go in and get this game and head home up 3-2. Now, if it were an even money game, I'd probably lean towards the Oilers. They're at home, they're high-powered offense, but a plus 180, there's just so much value there on the money line. So I'm going to take the Kings on the money line. So I'm on Carolina, Toronto, and Minnesota all on the puck line. And then I'm taking the road Kings on the money line at plus 180. So lots of talk, lots of wagering tips, lots of games tonight. Hope everybody enjoyed it. And again, if you have any thoughts, comments, feedback, hit me up at Doug_Reed34 on Twitter. Always love chatting with people there. And before I go, a couple partners we have here. One is Manscaped. If you haven't went to manscaped.com already, go there and use the coupon code HOOPBALL20. That's HOOPBALL20 at checkout. Get 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. If you're looking for another sports book, use the code HOOPBALL on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. So hopefully everybody enjoyed the show for a Tuesday. Lots of action on the boards tonight. Hopefully you can find something you'll like and we can all make some money. Talk to you tomorrow.
Welcome.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.